Thank you. Greetings, everyone. Praise the Lord. Just want to say thank you for being here, all those who are gracious to be here today and all those who are online with us. Just want to say thank you and praise the Lord. The Lord is in charge, He's in control, and He's able to do all things right, good, and well. Let's go ahead and pray to the Lord today. Ask Him to lead, guide, and direct, bless the message, the song service, and all those who would hear the message. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord God in heaven, we thank You for what You're doing, O Lord God, today in this beautiful day, Lord God, that You've given us. For we know, Lord, that Your mercies are new every morning. Praise Your holy name for that, Lord. And for the work that You're doing, Lord God, tilling that soil of every heart, Lord God, causing us to look, to observe, to consider, to rend our hearts, O God, that we might be found acceptable, faithful, true before You, Lord God, on that great day. To make sure, Lord God, that our hands stay to the plow and that we don't look back. I pray, Lord God, that You would continue to do a work not only with all our friends that are online, all those that are here, but that would also hear this message down the road somewhere, that You would bless and anoint every eye, every ear, and every heart. Thank You, Jesus, for You call those who You're going to call. And Lord God, You prompt those who You're going to prompt.
Praise You, Jesus.
I thank You, Lord God, for You are faithful, and You call us to be faithful. Thank You, Jesus, for Your ways are perfect, Your ways are true. I pray the Holy Ghost would lead us today. Be here with us.
Thank You, Lord. Thank You,
Jesus. Oh, in a mighty way, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank You, Lord. Well, why don't we, there's a song, you know, is that I Surrender All? Was that in the hymn book? Do you remember what page that was?
Look mighty quickly.
I'm sorry?
324.
What did you say?
Page 324.
324? Okay. If you could follow us to 324, I guess that's where it is here. For some reason, I just keep thinking it was in the chorus book. But I Surrender All. If we could go there and sing that. Now, I wanted to make mention before we sing that song, preface something before we sing that. Years ago, Julius Caesar, when they came to the land of Britain to conquer it, told his soldiers to go and look and stand over the cliffs of Dover. And when they would go look, what they saw was that all the ships that they had come in by were in flames. Julius Caesar wanted to ensure total victory and commitment. Many times, Christians leave an open hatch and an open door to go back into the world instead of being wholly dedicated and full on to serve the Lord. These soldiers fought and conquered, because they understood and realized there was no turning back. We also need to burn all those bridges that would lead back to the world. Amen? We also need to have that heart to say, I'm going to serve God. I don't care what cost it's going to be to me, what it's going to take. I'm going to do all I can. There were some soldiers, Asian soldiers in Barino years ago. They were said and told that they were having to jump out of the plane. And they says, well, to land into this enemy territory. And they bravely said, okay, it's just as long as you can fly us fairly low, no more than 100 feet over a swampy area. And we can jump. And the man said, well, the parachutes won't open that low, that far down to the ground. They didn't realize that they were going to use parachutes, but they had a heart, they had a heart, they had a heart to see and to know that they were going to risk their lives no matter what it cost them. And so it is with us. The Lord is looking for such a soldier. Men, women, who will put God first and surrender their all. Amen? Why don't we sing that? All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His service daily live. I surrender all. I surrender. My blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender humbly at His feet. I bow. Worldly pleasure all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender all. My blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender, make me Savior, wholly thine. Let me fill the Holy Spirit, truly know that Thou art mine. I surrender all. I surrender all. My blessed Praise the Lord, amen. Just want to say thank you for being here today. Let God be God in your life, amen. There's a song I'm hoping that we can go to, 163. I need thee every hour. You know, important thing to understand and know and realize too is that we can't truly call the Lord Lord if we're just a sometimes Christian. Amen. We just sometimes decide we're going to serve God and we're going to just say, Lord, I'm going to take a day off today. I'm feeling sick. I'm worried. I'm fearful. I don't know if I can do this. I'm not really committed and dedicated to that church, so I don't really feel like I need to go there today. But you see, it's not the church that people should look at. You're not serving the church.
That's true.
You're serving God.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. It's about your relationship with the Lord, not a church. Although the Bible does say, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together as you see the day approaching. The day is approaching. It is nigh at hand.
Yes.
The days are wicked and evil for sure. And we know that the devil is doing all he can to put out all the stops to blind people's eyes and hearts to the truth. And one way that will lead people down to perdition is by way of excuses. We need the Lord every day. It's not a sometimes thing. I need the Lord every hour of every day. What about you?
Every second. Yes, Lord.
I rely on the Lord.
Amen.
He's my chief reliance. Not some friend, although we need good friends. But what are you going to do in that day when you're in a foxhole and there's nobody else around you and you need help? Are you going to look out for your friend to help you? Or are you going to call out to Jesus? Are you going to have that kind of a relationship with the Lord where you can call out to Him on your own? Because we're all going to stand before God one day, and you already know this, to give an account for our life. And it's better to practice. It's better to live your faith now while you still have time, rather than just wait for that day you get into a foxhole. If you don't have a living faith with the Lord now, my encouragement to you is to start today. Don't wait until tomorrow. So let's sing that. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour, in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, for life is vain. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour, most holy one. Oh, make me thine indeed, thou blessed Son. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. Thank you, Lord. Thank you,
praise
Lord.
Praise you, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Jesus.
Praise God. If we could ask you to turn to 291 with us. It's called Revive Us Again, 291 in the hymn book. And you know, I often wonder, sometimes I've been in situations too, where I've needed to be revived. I've needed that real kick in the derriere. I needed to know that, Lord God in heaven, how can I know that I'm truly serving you with a heart full of love and devotion that is acceptable in thy sight? How can I be revived again, Lord God? What's it going to take to get through that veil of flesh? What's it going to take to get through all those excuses? What's it going to take to just say, I've had enough of the flesh? I've had enough of the carnal. I've had it with it. I'm done with it. What about you? There comes a day when you just have to get so mad at the devil, so mad at the flesh, and say, you know what? I'm going to push on. I'm going to let the Lord be Lord and Savior of my life. I've just had it with all the excuses and the flesh and the carnal. And all it wants to do is drag me down under so that I could never taste victory, so that I could never feel that great victory of walking every day in that joy and peace that fills your heart when you know that you've obeyed the Lord. There's just something wicked about that sin of neglect. There's something wicked about that always putting things off until tomorrow. There's something wrong with that picture. We need to be revived again.
Amen.
We need Jesus.
Amen.
To truly get through to us, to do a work. It's called transformation. It's called being reformed. It's called being enlightened by the Word of God. Being renewed daily by the Word, the washing of the Word of God. Amen. And how we need to be reading the Word of God. How we need to be meditating and feeding upon that bread of life. Amen? Because with that bread of life, it will always lead you to green pastures and still waters of peace. Amen? Let's go there. Praise Thee, O God, for the Son of Thy love, for Jesus who died and is none above. Alleluia, Thine the glory, Alleluia, Amen. Alleluia, Thine the glory, revive us again. We praise Thee, O God, for Thy Spirit of light, who has shown us our Savior and seen aright. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, Amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Revive us again. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has borne all our sins and has cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, by the glory. Hallelujah, Amen.
Hallelujah, Lamb of glory, revive us again. Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. Soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again.
Oh, glory to God.
You got to fight for your faith today. You know that. You've got to fight for your faith today. You can't sit back and let the devil come to you and pummel you and tempt you and whisper in your ear. You've got to fight them off.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. You got to say, I rebuke those thoughts in Jesus' name. I don't receive that. That doesn't come from the throne of God. I don't receive that. And rebuke the devil. Kick him in the rear end. Kick him in the teeth. Tell the devil to get thee behind me, Satan. Get thou behind me, you demon of wickedness, you demon of deceit. Lie, lie, lie. Excuse, excuse, excuse. The devil will come at you day and night and try to get your attention to lie low and to slink back, to don't push forward, to kind of hide here and relax and not pray. Oh, these are all excuses.
Lord, help us, Lord Jesus.
These are all tactics by the devil to cause you to grow lukewarm. Amen.
That's right.
All tactics to cause you to lose faith when you need it the most. Because let me tell you something, when you don't have faith, oftentimes because you don't spend time with the Lord.
That's right. Amen.
When you don't have faith, it's because you don't spend time in the presence of God. And it's in that presence where you gain strength and confidence.
That's right. Amen.
There's a song in the chorus I'm hoping that we could go to in closing the worship and praise. Have faith in God, number 39. Have faith in God, number 39. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God for deliverance. Have faith in God. Oh, have faith in God. Have faith in God. In God for deliverance, have faith in God. Oh, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God for deliverance. Have faith in God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord, the living God.
Oh God, we praise you, Jesus.
He's still on the throne today, I can tell you that much.
Oh, we worship you, Lord. Oh, we worship you, Jesus.
Still on the throne today.
Praise God.
Thank you, Lord. We're going to take up our tithes and offerings. If I could have Chuck, would you be gracious enough to take up that for us? Tithes and offerings. People have a prayer request. If people have anything that they would like to share, a request or an encouragement, edification, comfort, exhortation. We need more exhortation and comfort, don't we? We can be exhorted, but then follows exhortation, comfort. Amen. Thank you, brother. If anybody has anything that they would care to share, please feel free to raise your hand. And or anyone who's online, if you write Samuel a message. I know that Sam is faithful to get that to us so we can read it and bring it before others. We can lift you up in prayer or rejoice with you. Amen. So let's praise God. But I want to just say too, I just want to thank God today for the work He's doing in the lives of many people. You know, everyone here has come a long ways. Everyone here that's in these seats, you've got your own fights. All those who are online, you've got your own battles. You've got your own situations you have to deal with. And I understand a lot of them are very serious. A lot of them are very real. But I want to encourage you today to know that God is bigger than those.
Praise the Lord.
God is bigger than your problems. He's able to take you through them. The Lord wants us to go head on to fight those giants in our lives. And to defeat those giants.
Praise you, Lord.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for these tithes, gifts, and offerings. And I thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing in the hearts of everyone here, all those online. Thank you, Lord God. You'd help us to be good stewards of these monies, tithes, offerings, and gifts. For your glory, Lord God. Help us to use these according to your perfect will as you lead, guide, and direct. Amen. Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
And thank you, Shirley.
You're welcome.
Appreciate that.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Thank you, brother. And the name of the message today, I would ask you to follow along with me. I just want to start off in the book of Exodus chapter 20 for just one or two verses to start off. Exodus 20. The name of the message today, Parable of the Supper. It's called the Parable of the Supper. The message for today. And I want to start off by reading two verses. If you could follow along with me today. Now, how many know that God's love is also a God who is jealous for you? He's not jealous of you, but He's jealous for you. Amen? He refuses to share your heart with any rival. Why? Why is that? Because He knows that your dependence on Him, He knows that your relationship with the Lord, your relationship is going to depend on your very life. Your relationship with Him. So I want to start reading here. In verse 5, "Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of their fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." Oh, praise God. To obey God means also to walk in a holiness, a purity, an integrity. And that will depend on how much we surrender our lives to God. Amen? In the Christian walk, there are no excuses. Just so you know that. In the Christian walk, God doesn't look at excuses as a valid answer. God is looking for a people of faith, much like Caleb, who was wholly given over to the Lord. Amen? Follow along with me now to 2 Corinthians, if you will. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 11. Now, Paul is talking about the Corinthians. As he's saying in verse 1 to 4 here, "Would to God ye could bear with me a little, my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." In the Jewish culture, it's customary for the friend of the bridegroom to go find a suitable husband. And in the interim, it's called an engagement. During that time, this man guards and watches over her. This guy who is the go-between vindicates her character, whether or not she be worthy and found acceptable for her husband. Amen? So Paul is also doing the same thing with the church as he seeks to present this church before God, that acceptable virgin. Amen? In verse 2 it says, "But I fear lest any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." In other words, what he's saying is, any time you give your heart or hearts to something other than God, it's considered spiritual adultery. Do you see the verbiage there? Spiritual adultery. It happens during that period of engagement. if this man who is the go-between and speaks not only to this woman, he also speaks to the man. And he gave messages back and forth what the other was saying to the other. But if one was found to be guilty of adultery, they were handed divorce papers, much the way the Lord divorced His people in Israel in the desert. Amen? In verse 4, "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him." But you see, the devil will come with oaths, lies. The devil will try to come to you and beguile you into believing another gospel, into believing half-truths and lies. That's what he does. That's what causes people to form excuses in their mind as to why they can't follow the Lord. Amen? Why don't we quickly go to Proverbs 19. Proverbs 19. And I want to read just one verse before going to Luke chapter 9. What we're going to read in 19:9 is about a false witness. The one who is a talebearer, spinning the webs of falsehood to all those who would listen. It is the opposite of Christ, because Jesus is faithful and true. Amen? Jesus is looking for a bride who will be faithful and true, isn't he? In verse 9, it says, "A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall perish." Now this is all leading up to the parable of the supper. Did you know that an excuse is the same thing as a lie? Did you know that? When people make excuses, they're not making an excuse to God, they're lying to Him. Let's just get to the nitty-gritty of it. I would be responsible to tell you the truth. And that's what I'm going to do. Let's go to Luke chapter 9. Amen? Luke chapter 9. Here at Luke chapter 9, we read, and I want to start, I suppose here we could go to verse 20. And it goes on to say here, "He said unto them," in verse 20, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Peter answered and said, "The Christ of God." You know, a lot of people, they pick on Peter, don't they? Peter was a man who did a lot of things off the cuff. He did a lot of things in an impromptu manner. Peter was a man who also was willing to step out and make a fool of himself. He made mistakes, but he was willing to step out. He was willing to step out on that boat. Even though he failed, he was willing to do it. That's what God's looking for. He was willing. And the Lord met him in the middle. Amen. The Lord met him where he was because he was willing. He didn't make excuses, did he? And what did it say here? "And he straightly charged them," in verse 21, "commanded them, tell no man that thing," because, simply put, it wasn't yet time for the Lord to be revealed to those. The Lord had a work to do. The Lord had things He had to do before that time would come. In verse 3, it goes on to say here, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day." Hey, this is not a round trip ticket, this life. It's a one-way ticket. It's a one-way ticket down death's row, isn't it? Following Christ means letting go. Following Christ means denying yourself. It means taking up your cross and following the Lord. Amen. There's no excuses involved with that, because the Lord doesn't leave you with any excuses. That's why excuses have to be judged. That's why excuses have to be accounted for. That's why it's better to follow hard after the Lord now. And your walk with Christ will be easy. A lot easier. But if you follow the Lord half-heartedly, you're going to be most miserable of all men. You're going to be one who is always slinking back, always faltering, always unable to get the victory, always making excuses as to why you can't do this and that. God is not someone who makes excuses. And He's calling for a people of like mind. Ain't He? In verse 23, "And He said to them all, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross." What does it say? Not sometimes. Daily. "And follow Me." The Lord's not He's not looking for a sometimes Christian. He's looking for Calebs and Joshuas who are saying, "We are well able to overcome. Let us go into the land and possess it at once." Amen. 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 What is that land? What are you to possess? You are to fight those giants in your very life. Overcome temptations of every kind. There are many giants in many forms. And we are to fight the good fight on that way to Canaan land. Amen? On the shores of heaven, when we finally get there. Verse 24, "For whoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for My sake, the same will save it." Amen. How can anybody expect to gain a resurrection life without first dying to self? In order to be resurrected, you've got to die first. In verse 25, "For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself? Or be cast away? For whomsoever shall be ashamed of Me and My words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when He shall come in His glory, in His own glory, and in His Father's, and in of the holy angels." In verse 27, "But I tell you the truth, there shall be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God." You see, in this life that we live, it's full of paradoxes. The Lord is looking for a people who will accept Him who was despised and rejected of men. Jesus didn't come in fine apparel. He didn't come looking as the most handsome man on earth. He came specifically to look homely, to be rejected and despised. Why? to test the hearts of men who seek after truth and not looks, not appearances. Turn now with me, will you, to the next page, to chapter 9. Let's go to verse 54. Verse 54. Praise God. Did you know that there are two kinds of courage? Oh, there sure is. There's the courage of the moment, and then there's that planned courage. See, Jesus was not given over to fear. Jesus understood. He went towards that cross. He picked it up, steadfastly marching towards Jerusalem, knowing the bitter cup he had to drink. It goes on to say here, let's go to 51 instead. And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly, see that? Set his face to go to Jerusalem. Much the same way we should set our face like flint to follow after God. And set messengers before his face. And they went and entered into the village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And now in verse 54, we read about a problem many of us have. Many of us are still learning and growing, aren't we? We don't have a full understanding of what the Lord intends and wants, how to live and how to think properly in context to His Word, how to properly discern what the Lord wants to do in our lives for others. Because here in 54 it goes on to say, and when His disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, wilt Thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them even as Elias did? But what did Jesus say? Jesus said, but He turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. See, oftentimes we don't know who we are. We don't know what we are. Our faith has not yet been tested. We aren't sufficiently in that place where we can understand the will of God in all things, or have the mind of Christ on the matter. It takes a time of surrender, yielding to the Spirit of God. It's a time of searching diligently the Word of God, asking the Lord to give you wisdom for every situation. It's not about making excuses, my friend. But Jesus came to have mercy and grace. What does it say here? He came with an outstretched arm. In 56, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. In verse 57, and it came to pass that they went in the way. A certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. He said he wanted to follow Jesus. But like many people today, he didn't know the cost. He didn't count the cost. The other question to that is, can anyone ill afford to not follow the Lord? No matter what the cost. And Jesus said unto them, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. In verse 60, Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. You see, in order to escape certain ruin in your life, the only and best thing to do is to put God first. Let the dead bury the dead, but put God first. Things are going to happen in your life. You're going to be faced with making decisions. Do I put God first or do I put that thing first? Do I put my family first? That's a tough one for a lot of people, isn't it? A lot of people aren't willing to hang on to that. But understand that when you put God first over your family and over your loved ones, He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek after Him. He knows how to keep them too. God's a just God. If you will put Him first, you'll see that God will do many things in your life that you never thought possible. Right here in Beaver Dam, right here in this little town, Beaver Dam, Wisconsin. Right here. Right where you're at. Wherever you live. Yeah, you. You too. That means you. Every one of you. That means me. All those who are online. Nobody's exempt. Amen? God does not, He is not a respecter of persons. In verse 61 it says what? And another also said, Lord, I will follow Thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And what does it say in verse 62? And Jesus said unto him, no man, now listen, no man, that means but nobody, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Did you know that when you're plowing, you put your hand on the plow, and anyone who's on a farm will know this. I mean, even though you might have a combine, it might be a little bit similar to a plow. But if you put your plow to a hand, to your hand to the plow, and you're always looking back, how are you going to steer straight? How are you going to look straight on to the Lord? How is that going to be a straight road if you're always looking? It's going to be crooked, isn't it? So it is. So it is with our walk with God. It's not going to be straight on. It's going to be crooked. Follow with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 14. Amen? Luke chapter 14. Going to verse 1, and I'm going to probably end up going to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 almost right away. But in verse 1 it says, and it came to pass, as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him. Oh, how many know that your lives are being watched? Jesus was always constantly being observed as to what he was doing, who he was with, what he was saying. He was constantly being observed. But let's go to 2 Corinthians with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And then we'll go back to verse 2 after this. 2 Corinthians 1 through 3. I want to read this. Do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or need we, as some other epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? In other words, do we need a letter, an official letter of recognition? Do we need something to tell other people that you are a Christian? Do you wear a necklace around your neck with a big cross, you know, big crosses, you know, around your neck to show that you're a Christian? No. What does it say in verse 2? Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. In other words, your life is known and read of all men. Wherever you are, whatever you do, at work, at the store, wherever you are, your life is written and read of all men to see, to observe, as they did with Jesus. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. How many understand and know and realize that you could be the only Bible somebody reads? Wherever you go. Turn with me again now back to Luke. Luke chapter 14. Verse 2. Oh, and it says here, and behold, there was a certain man before him which had dropsy. What is dropsy? Dropsy is an abnormality of fluid retention that makes a man look bloated in the face. And this man needed help. It was a disease. And it says here in verse 3, and Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? Now look, Jesus is always looking to heal someone. Jesus was always looking for an opportunity to heal someone. He didn't wait for that man with dropsy to come to him. Jesus recognized it, and he met that need. Why? To show his great mercy and love for man. He didn't come to kill him. He didn't come to destroy their lives, much the way James and John thought that they should call fire down from heaven. No, the Lord said, I came to save men's lives. Amen? And it goes on to say, and they hailed their peace. And he took him and healed him and let him go. Oh, when Jesus heals you, you're truly set free. And answered them, saying, which of you shall have an ass or an ox fallen into a pit and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? He goes on to say and explain to these people and reasons with them. So they have nothing that they could come back and say. Because Jesus, you can't reason with God in that way. You can't try to tell God and explain away why you should and shouldn't do this, this, that, or another. God is going to tell you what's best for your life. He's going to show you the right way. That's why we have two ears. Both are there for listening. And one mouth. That means we do less talking and more listening, right? Goes on to say in verse 6, and they could not answer him again to these things. Ah, Jesus deals with that Phariseeism, that legalism, who set men's traditions above the laws of God. Isn't that right? Isn't that what people do? They get into this legalistic thinking. And they got to have all these traditions and legalistic things ahead and above and beyond the things that God has us to do. To obey God's laws rather than men's laws is what God wants us to think. We are to obey God more than men. Put Him first. It goes on to say here in verse 7, and he put forth a parable to those which were bidden. When he marked how that they chose out the chief room, saying unto them, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden him. Did you know that in those days that there was a pecking order? That there was a seat that of importance closest to the bridegroom and bridesmaids. That there was a place of honor closest to. And so it was. The Lord's using that illustration in our own lives to teach us some lessons here. To take the road of humility. I've been in places like that. You see people, they always want to be seen and heard with all those who are popular. They're making a fool of themselves in the process. Have you seen that?
Yes.
I'm sure you have. Goes on to say, and he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. Goes on to say in verse 10, but when thou art bidden, go and sit down to the lowest room, that when he hath bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. When thou shalt have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. And Jesus always looks at a heart. He never turns away a contrite and a humble heart. And he's always saying, come up higher to them. Come up higher. Amen? For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Follow with me, will you, to Psalm 75 real quick. Psalm 75. I just want to read two verses there to cement that in for our understanding. Jesus is not merely teaching good manners here. What is he? He's teaching a lifestyle, isn't he? It's a lifestyle. It's how we are to think and live. It says here, in verse 5, lift not up your horn on high, speak not with a stiff neck, for promotion cometh, neither from the east. That doesn't come from some other man. Are you kidding? Don't look to some man, I don't care who he is. Don't look to some man to promote you. The minute you start having fear in your life, you have to start brown nosing up to some person, some man, you've already lost, you've missed the boat completely. It says here, for promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But did you notice the Lord left one place out? The north. Why? Because it says here in verse 7, but God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. God is the one who sits on the sides of the north.
That's right.
He already excluded the other three areas except the north. That's where He resides. That's the God. That's where God takes us. He promotes us. He's trying to teach us the lowliness of mind, to esteem others before ourselves. Further cement that, let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Amen. In Philippians chapter 2. Oh, praise God. What does it say in verse 1? If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being... Oh, can you see that now? Now, how many churches can truly say this? Being of one accord, of one mind. Oh, isn't that interesting? How many people in their heart who call themselves a Christian can look you in the face and say, I'm of one love, one mind, one heart with you. You're a brother and sister of Christ, and I love you because you're a brother and sister in the Lord. How many can truly do that? Oh, that's a challenge, isn't it? Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. You see, to truly humble yourselves, if you truly humble yourself, that means myself, that means you, all those who are online, is to get your eyes off of yourself and put it on God and others. It's about servanthood. Serving others. Serving God. Putting God first. Amen?
Yeah.
Verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. He says, why don't we look upon the needs of other people? Let's show a little bit of concern. Let's show a little bit of character here now. Let's show that we can live and think about others instead of ourselves. Amen? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Well, we just had a little bit of a went to school here on what we are to do. Jesus fulfilled this perfectly, didn't He? If you go to verse 6, it goes on to say, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God? But this is what Jesus did. But made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. In verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, isn't that what the parable of the supper is all about? Wherefore, God also hath rightly exalted Him, and given Him a name which is above every name. That's above every name. That means Christ is exalted in our lives. That means we should exalt Him, not another man or woman. Okay? I could care less about a pat on the back. I don't need that. I don't need that. It's nice that somebody would say, you know, it was a good message that you're being fed. Praise God for that. But flattery is a sure way to cause somebody to lose track. Flattery will destroy people. Wherefore, God hath also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and of things in the earth, and did you see this? And things under the earth. The devil's going to bow. Every man and woman who's in the grave will bow on that great day. Everyone will be resurrected, some to life and some to damnation. Verse 11, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen?
Amen?
To the glory of God the Father. In verse 12, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Oh, praise God for that. To work out your fear with trembling and fear. Work out your salvation with trembling and fear. Did I say that right? So let's go back now to verse 12 in Luke chapter 14. Amen. Then said he also to him that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and be recompensed, be made thee. In other words, don't just call those who are rich, and those of all your family and friends. Because oftentimes, they're going to want to reward you with something else. They're going to want to call you to a dinner. They're going to call you over so that you can, you know, a lot of people do this out of either selfishness or because they're in it, they want, there's something in it for them. Amen? But what does the Bible say to do? Now, let's get biblical here. What does the Bible say? What does the Word of God say? But when thou makest a feast, listen, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed, look at this, at the resurrection of the just. Full repayment comes at the resurrection of the just. Amen? People have a lot to learn. People see only their own, they can't see beyond their own nose. They look at what there is in their feelings, their thoughts, the soulless realm that gives no life at all. They don't know what it means to serve others, to serve God. It's all about my little family and friends. Us four, no more. Everybody else is excluded. That's when you pretty much can tell those who walk in the flesh and those who walk in the Spirit. Amen? But the Lord does the sorting out. Amen? The Lord sorts all that out. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, He said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. You see that? Oh, praise God. The poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, those that are despised and rejected with the Lord. Amen. Oh, they'll eat the bread of heaven one day. Praise God. And it goes on to say now, to get now to the title of the message. Then said he unto them, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time and say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. The Lord is always ready to receive. He's already prepared a feast. He's already got the food on the table, the bread. He can make a table of bread in the middle of a desert. It's all there, ready to be received, if only people will open their hearts and not make excuses. You can have a feast anywhere. Goes on to say, oh, look at this in verse 18. And they all, with one excuse, one consent, began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Now, let me ask you, if the man bought a piece of ground, what kind of a man would not go first see the ground before he buys it? Wouldn't you go see it first and then you know what it looks like? And why would that be an excuse to miss out on a feast? It's likened to a man who, a true story, out in Minneapolis, Minnesota, who bought some real estate. He didn't go bother to look at the real estate, he just bought it. A few months later, he went to go check out the piece of land that he bought, and it was on the bottom of Lake Harriet. Now, Lake Harriet is in the uptown area, the Minneapolis area. It's a nice area. I used to go for walks there all the time. Around the three lakes, walking paths, and beautiful area. But bottom of Lake Harriet. That was a real estate that he bought. He didn't go look at it first. Isn't that the way we are? Oftentimes we don't look, we don't see before we do something. And it goes on, and then we make an excuse. And then it goes on to say, and another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Now, what kind of a wife wouldn't go to a feast? Huh? What kind of a... Have you ever heard of a woman not wanting to go to a feast? In verse 21, so that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to the servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. Oh, these were the outcasts the Lord was talking about. The sick, the poor, those rejected by society. These are the ones that are rejected by church members. These are the ones that are rejected by people at work. These are the ones that are rejected by people at large. Wherever they go, people look at them with an evil eye. They despise them because maybe the way they look, maybe the way they talk or sound, maybe they don't drive the right car. Maybe they don't have the right clothes, so they're going to look down on them. goes on to say here in verse 22. And the servant said, Lord, it is done, as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. Oh, look at that now. There was still room. In verse 23, the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. It wasn't enough. The Lord bid all those people, all His people in Israel, the Jewish folk, bid them to come. It was open for them, but they rejected them. They despised them. That same thing goes for the world. They despise the Lord. They mock Him and they make fun of Him. But you see, the Lord opens the doors to those that take the humble road in. For those that decide with their heart that they're going to follow after the Lord who was despised and rejected of men. That they're going to be identified with that. They're not going to be concerned about what other people think and say about them. Amen? For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Did you see that? They made excuses. And they would not be able to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And there went great multitudes with him. And he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife and his children, his brothers and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, many people don't understand that passage. All that's simply saying, if you don't love God more than your loved ones, you're not worthy of me. That's all it's saying. It's not complicated. That's all it's saying. If you don't love me more than them, then you're not worthy of me, the Bible says. We're not to hate anybody. The Lord knows that. We're not to hate anybody. We're to become Christ-like and love people. Amen? And whosoever doth not, it says here, bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Oh, denying oneself completely means that you're yielded to Christ. You're given over to what the Lord wants rather than the flesh. You see, our life does not belong to us according to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Amen? Verse, I believe it's 6 and 9. It does not belong to us. Amen? Goes on to say, for which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether ye have sufficient to finish it? You see, we must count ourselves as dead to the world. Count the cost. Consider yourself dead to the old way of living. And move on to better, glorious things that God has for you. Don't sit back and slink back and make excuses and think that your way is better. That somehow I'm going to dip back into the world and have a little bit more fun. I'm going to go to the carnival. I'm going to go to the festival. I'm going to go to a wine tasting event over there in town. I'm going to go do this, that, and the other. It all leads to death. All those excuses. I made that mistake a few times. In El Paso, Texas, there was a wine tasting event that I had went to. I used to enjoy wine. And I drove into the middle of the desert. El Paso, Texas. I was so drunk. In the heat of the day. I was seeing double driving back. I don't know how I made it back. But God protected me. I'm just saying that that was the wrong road to take. I made a mistake. That was not good. That was not God honoring. And I regret that to this day, even though the Lord forgave me. I have a hatred in my heart for alcohol today. I have an absolute and utter hatred for it. I despise alcohol, cigarettes, and all these other vices of the world. I hate them. I want nothing more to do with that sort of thing. Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Oh, did you know that on that day of judgment, oh, those people that will stand before God who have not made themselves ready. Oh my, I can't imagine that what it's going to be like for them. That absolute and utter feeling of being lost and doomed forever. Because they wanted a few flings with the world. They wanted to enjoy the sin of the world for a moment and lose out for eternity. Oh, in verse 31, or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able to with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage, in other words, an ambassador, and desireth conditions of peace. No, we cannot afford to refuse that offer that the Lord is giving us. We can't afford to refuse it. It goes on to say in 33, oh boy, so likewise, whosoever he be that of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. You know, forsaking the world means goodbye to the world. That's when you physically, you say, you look out the window, you say, bye-bye. Goodbye to all those things that you used to enjoy. And hello to the way of the cross. Hello to the hard way that takes you to heaven. It's a paradox, isn't it? Hello to the narrow road that's difficult, but that will a sure way that will get you in the gates of heaven. Amen. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? Salt is useful only as long as it's salty. Isn't that right? As long as it's salty, it's useful. So it is with a Christian. As long as the Christian is walking in the way of Christ, it is good. But if you lose your witness, what good is it? It is neither fit for the land nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. You know, did you know that excuses are fashioned for convenience? They're clung to out of desperation. They are nothing but a bunch of lies. It's a cloak filled with holes and stitches. Amen. Always trying to patch up a lie. Trying to wear a cloak of goodness, but filled with lies and holes and stitches. Amen. Doesn't make any sense, does it? Let's go to Matthew chapter 7, will you? Matthew chapter 7 with me. Here it says, in verse, if we could go to 19. Oh my. Excuses cause many. Did you know that? Excuses cause many to die in their sins. They make excuses, and what do? In the process, they live a lie. They live a lie, don't they? Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. It goes on to say, wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. This is the Word of God. I'm not saying it. The Word of God is. It's right here for all people to read. Excuse makers and liars and pretenders one day will be all found out. That's why it's better to be real now. And we can be. Every one of us can be real, genuine Christians. There is hope. As long as you're still living and breathing, there's hope. Did you know that? Not everyone, it says here in verse 21 now, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Oh, but listen. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Now, the kingdom of heaven, living the Christian life, is about doing. Don't you ever get sick and tired of hearing people say things and they don't mean it? They don't believe what they say and they don't say what they believe. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. They never spent time getting close to the Lord. They never took the time to pray and to read the Word of God. They're considered workers of iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto the wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house and fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. You see, that is a life that's tested and tried by trials and hardships. Did you know that? Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended and the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Oh, the sin of doing nothing, that great sin of neglect, will cost people for eternity. Goes on to say, and it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as scribes. We should all be astonished. If not, we probably never really heard the truth. We probably never really heard with our hearts if we're not astonished. Let's go to Revelations chapter 19. Revelation 19. Verse 6. Oh, for those that make it into heaven. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude. What is that multitude? and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings. What is that? All of heaven. That's all of heaven giving glory to God. Saying, Alleluia. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. Oh my. These that were made ready are faithful and blessed of God. Did you know that? Did you know that true praise and worship was never really conscious of what you're doing? When you worship God, you're never really conscious of it. You're just worshiping and praising God. You're not concerned about what other people are thinking around you. You're not going to be afraid to raise your hand and your voice. I don't care what anyone thinks. What about you? Goes on to say here in verse 8, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen. Oh, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. It's not that cloak full of holes and stitches, is it? No. What does it say here? And he saith unto me, right, blessed are they, which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true saints of God. Oh, man. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see, thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant. This was an angel of God. Amen. And thy brethren that had the testimony of Jesus, worship God, for his testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy. In other words, that's truth, his word. Don't make the mistake of worshiping some man. Don't make the mistake of giving man credit, okay? The minute you start giving man credit for anything is when you fall into that trap. You should always point to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's when you know you're walking in truth. Amen? If somebody tells you, I've done this. And I was able to accomplish that, you know. And they take all the credit. No. That's not from God. A true servant of God will always point to Jesus. Always. Goes on to say, and I saw heaven opened. Oh, look at that. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. Did you know that Jesus is faithful and true? He's looking for a people that will be faithful and true. Did you know that? I want you to see something here. What does it say? And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. You know that a horse depicts the meaning of power, speed, and honor? Did you know that? Did you know that the color of the white horse depicts victory? Jesus is coming back in victory.
Amen.
For a people that have overcome the world.
Praise the Lord.
His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. Mm-hmm. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. What is that name? Many people think that they found a name, but there's only one name. What does it say here? Oh, but I want to show you something too. In verse 12, when it talks about eyes of flame, what does that mean? Nothing will be hidden from the Lord. Everything will be burned as dross.
Right.
that's not of God. Nothing's hidden from Him when He comes back. He knows all things. And He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And look at this. And His name is called the Word of God. Dipped in blood. Coming back as a witness against those who rejected Him in His blood. Who rejected that offer of mercy. Those who were made ready are blessed and faithful. In closing, let's go to Matthew chapter 26. In closing, just three verses. Starting in verse 27. Oh, I'm telling you, every day, everybody, one day, will see that day, that precious bride of Christ, and know. Because it says in verse 27, and He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, oh, look at this now. Now this is that cup. Drink ye all of it. Didn't say drink some of it. It says drink ye all of it. Are you going to go through a cup of suffering? Is part of that cup going to be bearing burdens for other people? Bearing your own burdens? Going through hardship? The Bible says drink ye all of it. Oh, but it says here, for this is My blood of the New Testament. This is the way that is right, good, and true. Amen? This is the way that leads to life. Carry your cross. Pick up your cross. Drink that of that cup. Which is shed for many, oh look at, for the remission of sins. Oh, but what does it say in verse 29? We're talking about the bride and the bridegroom. The parable of the supper. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of this vine, of this fruit of the vine, until that day when I drink it anew with you in My Father's kingdom. You know, the bride might sit among ashes right now, despised and rejected of men, sitting among the ruins of life. But those that will remain faithful and true to God, the Lord is coming back to receive you to Himself. Amen?
Yeah,
as a faithful and true bridesman, bridegroom, He's going to come back to receive you, faithful and true is He. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to close with a worship song. Praise the Lord. Amen. The parable of the supper. Praise God. Oh, the Lord doesn't make any mistakes, does He? He calls us to be perfect, even as He is perfect. That perfect, what does that mean? That means we strive to enter into the straight gate. We contend for the faith. Why don't we just sing a simple chorus in closing? Will you reach out and touch the Lord today? Will you reach out today and ask the Lord to change your life? To make yourself ready for His soon appearing again? Make yourself ready without spot and wrinkle. He's coming back very soon. Reach out and touch the Lord in the chorus, number 76. Why don't we sing that in closing?
reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. You will find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment, your need to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. You will find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment, your need to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. Be dismissed unto prayer, but do spend time with the Lord. Do pray before you go. Before you walk out those doors, spend time with the Lord. Amen. Praise God.
Thank you. Thank you.